Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the brand new weekly Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson, and he, Ben Hobson.
Hello.
Each Tuesday, fingers crossed, we'll be bringing you the latest news and views alongside an in-depth interview with an inspiring runner.
That inspiring runner this week is Anna McNuff, who's joined us in the studio. Anna's about to start her Barefoot Britain Challenge, which will see her run the equivalent of 100 marathons without shoes.
Wow. Well, not to blow our own trumpet...
Toot, toot. Good, well done.
But Runner's World last weekend completed a fairly impressive challenge of our own. We assembled a relay team to complete the 150-mile London Loop in 24 hours. We didn't quite manage it, actually. We were 24 hours, 22 minutes in the end. But we had a cracking time, and actually, I almost ran over a badger while running, not in a car.
Well, good, to clarify. That's the perils of running at night, Rick.
I'd never seen a badger before.
They're big.
And I saw four separate badgers. This is in Croydon, along a sort of nine-mile stretch. Four badgers.
You probably found a set.
Yeah, I reckon I found a set.
Well done. 24 hours, 22 minutes is the time to beat. If anyone thinks that they can beat that time, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, we had a really nice group of people. And there's lots more information about us doing the London Loop on our various channels. Ben, tell us what our various channels are.
Twitter, at Runners World UK. Instagram, at Runners World UK. The website itself, runnersworld.com/UK. And just make up other ones. No, that's it.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Our guest this week is an adventure queen who has run the length of New Zealand. Her next challenge, she's casting her shoes off and is going to run the equivalent of 100 barefoot marathons. Anna McNuff, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on. Great to have you on.
So, this barefoot challenge, what is it all about?
Well, I do understand it's a little bit bonkers, okay? I fully get that. It is about, I'm linking up with a girl guide, so basically the whole point of it is to go all the way along and use this run to speak to the young women of Britain, and my message to them is you have to do things that scare your girls, and I thought if I'm doing that, I've got to be on a scary journey. So I thought about doing the run in trainers, and then I just thought, I think if I'm honest, I could do it in trainers. Mm. Not, I don't mean that in an arrogant way, I just think I could drag myself through it.
Yeah.
And then this thought just popped into my head, why don't you do it barefoot? And I thought, that is ridiculous. And then I got really scared and thought, I think I need to do it barefoot. And that was it.
This is all part of your kind of adventure graph, isn't it? Where you've got like...
Oh, bonkers to possible.
Yes. Can you explain a bit more about bonkers to possible?
Highly scientific diagram. On one end of the scale, you have a straight line, you have bonkers on one end and you have possible on the other. And whenever I come up with a challenge idea, I mentally put it on that scale. And if it's too close to the possible, then...
It's off.
It's off, man. You know, it's just out.
Yeah.
And then you slide it towards the bonkers, but you've got to stop before it tips off into the completely ridiculous. Mm. And this is probably the closest to bonkers I've been.
This is pretty close.
This is
touching bonkers.
This could still be the tipping point, to be honest.
It could. I mean, it may be ridiculous. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, how long have you been running barefoot for? Is this completely new for you, or is it something you've transitioned into?
There's been a transition. I've been kind of stealth training because I only told people about 6 months ago, and it was actually a relief to tell people. I've been in minimalist shoes for about 3 years.
Yeah.
So I went down from standard supported ones to then Nike Freeze, which I just really liked how flexible they were, down to Vivo Barefoots, which I love. And then about a year and a half ago, I started transitioning down to a mixture of running in socks and barefoot, and then 6 months of completely barefoot.
Because I think most people would hear this, and even the most ambitious of all runners might hear it and suddenly be like, this is for me, I'm off.
The shoes are on fire. And they're outside on barefoot.
Because I read Born to Run and then the Five Fingers came out and I was like, woohoo, I bought them, I went and ran 10K and then crippled myself.
Yeah, the same thing.
So this was Mark 2 of minimalist running. Yeah. And having done, I'm actually pleased I did that because I knew that I couldn't just go and do it.
Yeah.
And I think people should run in whatever they're comfortable in, but I do think you should also consider letting your feet do what they're built to do. Mm. And I love minimalist shoes.
So are you, is this across the country is a significant distance? Have you sort of mapped it out so that there's a lot of trail, or is it softer, or is it road, or is there a mix of everything?
It's a good mix. It's right. About 60% trail, 40% urban, I'm going to call it. Right, sounds nice. Like a fashion line, urban. And that is purely because, A, I wanted to go on some trail because I love trail. That's where my heart goes. Mm. But also, it's a lot about where the guiding units are for me to be able to speak to young girls. You know, it's great me running over mountains, but there's not many girls hanging out up there.
There's not a guide out at the top,
and it'd be a bit of a hassle to get up there. So it's a real mixture of the two. And I mean, in a way, tarmac's harder on my body because of the pounding, but actually at least I know what I'm going to get. So some of the trails, I'm most nervous about gravel and farmer's track.
Sharp stones.
There should be like a dun-dun-dun.
The farmer's track.
Yeah.
Any injuries to speak of, apart from obviously in your first attempt at barefoot, you got injured, but what about this time around?
This time around, I had probably quite a lot of Achilles issues to start with because it's a lot on your Achilles, and to go from, hey, here's 33 years of not being used very much to, come on, you've got to do everything. I definitely had a bit of soreness, but I always felt it was at a manageable level. You know, it was a bit cheeky, I'd say, cheeky injury. And then that, after 6 months, that just disappeared. And I've had a bit of plantar fasciitis on my left foot, which is just my calves just need to get stronger, basically. So my chiropractor's just, every time I go up the stairs, I do 50 calf raises, which, if you think about how many times you go up the stairs in a day when you work at home, that's a lot.
Yeah, so
I'm basically trying to get like those heart-shaped calves, like the Tour de France
riders.
I know them. I'm going to put a bra on my calf muscles one day.
You must have some calf muscles, Ben. You're keen.
I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, say that I don't. But to be honest, I should be doing exactly that all the time as well. I think there's things that look good and then things that are usable. And I think mine probably are in the look good sort of scale of things.
Do you know what though? You're halfway there if they look good, really, aren't you?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can fool a lot of people.
I mean, I think that everyone will probably be wondering about poop.
Oh, I ran over some yesterday on Kew Bridge. Massive dollop of dog turd. It was great. Poop, urine, vomit, all of that. But then I think if you actually stop and think about what your hands touch in
a
day,
especially
in London, actually your feet touching it is a lot further away from your mouth. You're not going to put your feet in your mouth, are you? So, you know, let's be honest, actually. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just a feral child, but there's something about getting dirty and mucky and just grubby that I just love. You know, obviously, I'm hoping not to step in too much dog poop. I've waded through a lot of cow poo on my runs, especially
that
the Pennines.
That seems different.
Yeah, it is. It's very soft.
Yeah, there you go.
There are more acceptable poops. Types of feces.
Of course.
Horse and cow.
Anything that's in a large scale on a field is acceptable because that's trail-based. Yeah.
And it also is, we know that's good for the environment because that's compost, whereas no one composts with dog poo.
Humans are worse.
If I ran through a bit of human poop, I think I'd be stopping for a wash.
Right. Moving on then. obviously, you ran the London Marathon in bare feet as well.
I did.
3:44. Yeah. So really, really good time. Good for age time.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that, or how easy it was, or how hard it was?
Well, I was really surprised, actually. And it was a good day out. And it's probably, you know, because normally when I enter an event, I don't do many events. And that was my first ever official marathon. I mean, I've run loads of marathons, but I never do it in an official event. Yeah. And so normally when I enter an event, I'm hideously underprepared. I go tumbling into the start line and everything just goes a bit wrong and I end up disappointed. But the London Marathon was brilliant.
Yeah.
I didn't wear a watch because I used to be a rower, like a GB rower. So I was staring at a screen all the time, looking at my split times, and I just hated it. So I never run with a watch. And I thought, I should probably run with a watch because I'm doing the London Marathon. I thought, well, no. And so I just did it by feel. And I just chilled and then just thought, I feel really good. You know, I felt amazing. And I thought, I'll get to 17 miles and see what happens, because that was the furthest I'd ever run on tarmac in bare feet. And then I was just waiting for the wheels to fall off, and they just didn't until about mile 22. And then I went in the pain cave and stopped. You know, everyone's going, "Go, Anna!" And I'm like, "Go!
Leave me alone!
Who are you? Stop shouting my name!"
What about going through like the Lucozade? It must have been, it must have got quite sticky on the floor.
So sticky, which at first was quite funny. I found it really, really funny. And you're sort of dodging up the floor. Because then what would happen is you'd have Lucozade station, but then you'd be like, "Ooh, Buxton Water's coming soon."
A little foot wash.
And then you'd see the best was the hose at the side of the road. Yeah. That was great. But then towards the end, I did start to get a bit, you know, not irritated, but thinking this friction is slowing me down, you know, because I could feel every step. But I just tried to stay chilled about it and thought, this is what it's about. You know, I'm experiencing the London Marathon in all its form. Like, no one else is getting this stickiness on
their feet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I was super impressed. I think actually barefoot running can be associated with, you know, all right, you're going out and it's just about being out there and being, and maybe running a lot slower, but actually it's a really good time.
So, yeah, it was all right. And people were so sweet as well. They were so concerned for my safety. I had one Irish woman that stayed with me for 10 minutes. She was so worried that someone was going to step. She stepped my shoe. She was like a personal foot security guard. It was brilliant.
What messages? I mean, we've talked about the run that you're doing and the Girl Guides and all that sort of stuff. But do you have a bigger overarching message about running and how you present your adventures?
I think when you ask someone whether they enjoy running, the first thing they'll say to you is, "I'm not very fast." Unless you ask like Mo Farah, in which case you might say, "I'm all right." But then I think, well, that's not the question I asked you. So I think somewhere along the way, we got lost in that running has to be about speed and about times. And I think that's great as long as you're using that as a measure of personal performance and doing your best and not a stick to beat yourself over the head with. Like, I don't know if you'll ever be good enough if you're always doing it about time.
Yeah.
So I think through doing adventures, and that's a general thing, I think coming from an elite sports background where I did beat myself over the head with a rowing oar in that case. I'm just all about the sensation of it, the experience, which is why I love trail running, why I love running to the pub to eat a Sunday lunch. You know, I'm going somewhere. I'm using running as a tool for enjoyment and being out there and not necessarily a need to go fast. But then there is that element of trying to see where the line is and how far you can push yourself, which is partly what the barefoot running is about.
Definitely, yeah.
I think anyone running will always have that. There's always that slight, I'm going to say masochistic element of personality, which is kind of like, wow, I've been really enjoying this, but I wonder if I can go really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah, which
and that's
is
nice.
Cool.
Yeah. When you sort of like get that irony taste in your mouth and you really...
Oh, the cross-country blood taste. Yeah. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I think you're right, though, that there's definitely a crossover. It's like, I like running. And then you get, have you done a marathon?
Yeah.
How fast?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And I think there's lots of speed is one thing, but there's lots of other dimensions to running. You know, it's not 2D. It's not how fast is it? It's where have you been and what, and sometimes people's best races aren't where they went the fastest. No. You know, something else. So,
definitely, yeah. Richard Asquith writes about the seven ages of the runner. I can't remember all seven of them, but like once that you get into it, two it becomes competitive, three it becomes a bit of an obsession, and maybe some of the enjoyment comes out of it.
Yeah,
and most people never get past stage three, but actually there are other stages, which is kind of what you're talking about, enjoyment, running for its own sake.
Yeah, and I think what comes maybe passing into that realm, I'm going to call them realms now, is you have a quiet bit of self-confidence and you don't feel the need to do things for other people. You know, you're actually doing it for yourself, and that's when running gets really fun.
Definitely. Do you think that your running has changed as a result of this barefoot journey that you've been on?
Physically, yes. Yeah. So... and I was saying to you, I went to the Running Lab, which is this awesome place under Kew Bridge, under one of the arches. It feels like it should be a troll home, but it's not. It's home to a very, very clever man called Christian. And he, a year ago, I went to see him and he looked at my running style, my gait, and he basically explained to me that I need to be a glider, which is because I'm doing distance and I want to minimise the impact on the force of the ground on my joints, that I need to try and run. Basically, if you're looking at me sideways with my shoulders as level as possible, which is so different to what you see on the telly. You know, you see the 1500 meters runners and you boing, boing.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, don't be a Kenyan, basically. Don't run like they do. And that is how my running style has changed. And I watched myself in the London Marathon. I went back and got tested yesterday and seen that over the last year I have minimised the impact on my joints so that hopefully that staves off injury and I'm able to run for longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I look a little bit ridiculous, kind of like a swan trying to run, but it's working.
Yeah, so, exactly.
That's it. There's so many different styles.
Which part of your route are you most looking forward to? Have you recce'd some of it?
And
have you...
No, because I don't like recceing. Right. I know I'll probably get in trouble for that on the old Runner's World loop. Sorry, Rick.
It was noted.
I was like, I like the excitement of doing something for the first time. Yeah. I think that's amazing. So and a lot of my route is based on where do I want to go in the UK. Right. That's why I'm starting in the Shetland Islands, because what on earth goes on in the Shetland Islands? You know, it's basically Norway. Like,
It's so high up. Yeah,
there's puffins and otters and seals and all that jazz. Otters? I don't know, I made that up. so I'm really excited about the Shetland Islands. I'm going around the Isle of Man as well. Again, don't know what goes on the Isle of Man. And then I'm also going down to the Channel Islands when I get down to the south coast, because I was planning my route along the south coast and I thought I've run a lot of this before. Oh, so yeah. let's nip off to the Channel Islands.
Great.
Yeah, love it.
How about the Scilly Isles? Are you going to get out to there?
No, I really want to, but I'd have to go all the way down to the bottom of Cornwall, which, I mean, Cornwall is just a very long way. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful, but it is a really long way. But I'd love to go to the Scilly Isles one day. Yeah. I looked at going, but it's so hard to get down there.
It's so hard to get to.
It's a mission.
When you're there, it's amazing. I've been lucky enough to go, but it took me about 9 hours. And I thought...
It's a long swim.
I could actually... in a plane here. I could be...
Doggy paddle as well.
I could be in LA at this
point. Well, that's it, isn't it? But I do think that...
Silly Islands, LA.
I do think we do bypass Britain sometimes because we think, oh, I'll just get on Ryanair for a pound or whatever, when actually it's pretty awesome. So I'm excited.
So if people want to find out a bit more about Barefoot Britain... Apart from listening to this wonderful weekly podcast.
Weekly? How exciting.
Yeah. It's exciting, actually. Where can they go?
They can go to annamcnuff.com/Barefoot Britain. Or if you're really lazy, just Google Barefoot Britain. It'll pop up.
And when's it starting?
It's starting on the 2nd of June and finishes in London on the 10th of November. And there are 86 open running stages. So if people want to sign up to run with me, they can go and... hit sign up. And
do they have to be in bare feet?
No, absolutely not. They can wear whatever they want, you know, even fancy dress if they like. But I just want people to try and, you know, come and run a few miles, have an excuse to get out.
Great. Fantastic. Anna, thanks so much for coming on the Runners World podcast.
You are so welcome. It's been a pleasure.
That was great.
Yeah, best of luck with Barefoot Britain as well. Thanks,
we'll come, and join you for the London bit.
Excellent. Good.
Absolutely.
That'd be amazing.
Rick will be barefoot.
100%.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I might be.
I think you should just be naked in shoes.
Fine.
Opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah, that's
fine. As long as your calves are out, then I think it's fine.
Fine.
In fact, wear everything, just reveal the calves. Yeah, fine, that's right. Amazing.
Cool. I'm done.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Now, as a man who read Born to Run, cast aside his footwear and then spent 2 months hobbling around injured, I'd like to offer the listener some hard-won barefoot running advice. Here are 3 tips for anyone looking to dip their toe into barefoot running. Number one, walk before you can run, literally.
All right.
Invest in a pair of minimalist day shoes, walk around in these, and that'll actually lengthen your Achilles tendon and then think about running after that.
Could you just not walk around barefoot?
At home?
Well, yeah, maybe the office.
Yeah, I think you might get some weird looks walking around the office barefoot, but hey.
True, why not? Embrace it.
Depends what you were, you know, if you were working at Google or something, some kind of Number two is go for the grass. Barefoot running makes most sense on natural surfaces like grass and sand rather than man-made surfaces like pavement. And number three is bring your shoes along too. This doesn't have to be a shoes-free thing. You could go for a run, say a three-mile run. You could do a mile of it barefoot or lap of the park, say. Then pick up your shoes, put your shoes on and continue the run.
Great. Solid tips.
Thank you very much.
I think I
will... Three top tips there.
I'm going to employ two of them.
Which ones?
The first one, but yep. I'm going to walk around barefoot. Unlucky, everyone. And the other one is I'm gonna bring my shoes along with me and just take them off now and again and just do a little
exactly.
bit.
Yeah, exactly. I was chatting to some people about feet yesterday on the weekend and the
your weekend activities.
Yeah, no, I'm a normal guy. And we were talking about, I don't know how I got onto this, but we said if you had to lose a couple of toes,
if you had to lose two toes,
which toes would you lose? Because obviously you're not going to lose a big toe.
Can't, then you're done. That's your balance point.
I'll let you go first because I've got a theory.
It's going to be the one next to the little toe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go next to the little toe and then you're next to the big toe so that you've still got the platform.
Absolutely right.
Right?
Three toes, the kind of trident foot.
Yeah. But the rest of the time I feel like you've got... So fifth metatarsal, little toe landing, transition through to your third metatarsal, which is important, and then off the first, off the big toe. So from a running point of view, you're going to have to be a bit wobbly, but you've got performance... should be okay.
We'd really like to know what listeners have to say about this.
podcast@runnerswell.co.uk title, which toes would you lose? Thanks. Also, I'm gonna quickly use all my power and influence to say happy birthday, mummy.
You're gonna do the song?
No, I'm just saying happy birthday to my mum because this is the podcast comes out today, Tuesday, the 14th of May, which is my mum's birthday.
Well, that's very nice.
Happy birthday, mum.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Now, rumours have reached RW Towers that a runner was seen last week wearing a pair of luminous green shoes, the kind sported by Eliud Kipchoge. To tell us more about these magic shoes and much more besides, here's Kerry McCarthy with some running news.
Hi, guys. I don't know about running around, but possibly waddling around slightly faster than usual is how I'd describe it. But yeah, I have spent the last week to 10 days wearing a preview pair of the Nike Next Percent, which sneakerheads may know is the update to the Vaporfly 4% Elite that came out last year. And I have to say, despite being a cynical journalist, I'm quite excited by them. They're quite difficult to control, actually. They're almost like, kind of being in a Formula One car going around a racetrack. It's like, it's pretty thrilling ride, but you can't switch off at any point. So a few technical details. They are extremely bouncy. They have more of the ZoomX foam than the previous iteration did. They have a very, very lightweight, but very strong upper, which is made of a blend of TPU and TPE, which is kind of a polycarbonate blend. The advantage of that is that your sweat won't stick in it. It's I think something like 75% lighter, they claim. But you can definitely feel that. It has asymmetric lacing, so it takes some of the pressure off the top of the foot. And of course, it has a carbon fibre plate, which is kind of like the technology du jour at the moment. But with good reason. I went straight in at the deep end. I ran a 20 miler for my first run. Don't try that at home, kids. You have to be at least as broken as I am to get away with it. But I really enjoyed them. You know, what I can say in terms of empirical evidence is that my cadence was up by about 15 steps a minute. My heart rate was down by almost 10 beats a minute, which is vast. Yeah. And I had significantly less achiness in the days that followed. I just had to make sure that I cornered quite widely because you really feel the carbon plate under your foot. Yeah. So you have to be careful about how you land. But yeah, they're very impressive. They are going to be a whopping £240 when they come out. So it's up to you whether or not you think that's worth it. I would suggest if you are a good club runner looking for marginal gains, they would be well worth the investment. They're out sometime in July, I believe, with a date TBC, but keep your eye on that one. What else have I been up to? I have been following the news that Mo, our own beloved Sir Mo Farah, will be defending his title at the Chicago Marathon this October. He's spent a few months playing with us all, trying to decide whether he's going to run at the World Championships back on the track in Doha. this autumn. He's decided not to do that. He will be going back to Chicago. He ran a time of 2:05.11 last year to win it, which is his PB to date. He was slightly slower in London a few weeks ago, 2:05.39. But, you know, he's got plenty of time to...
Maybe not go and mess around on a ginormous treadmill the day before.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And hopefully all quibbles and quarrels will be out of the way then, and he can focus on being the tremendous athlete that we know he is.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of tremendous athletes, and also segueing nicely back to the green shoes, is a man who encompasses both of those things, Eliud Kipchoge. He wore the next percent in his massive, massive victory at London. A couple of weeks ago, and he will be going for a second sub-2 hour marathon this autumn. Followers of the sport may remember that he had a go in 2017 at the Monza racetrack. It was obviously an unofficial attempt. They had things like pacers running in an arrow formation in front of him to kind of like act as a windbreak. Lots of other kind of like factors that would be deemed illegal, but for Nike, his sponsor, it was very much just not a stunt, but a spectacle to see what is humanly possible. And they're going to have another go this year. Delighted to say it will be in London, probably in the month of October. At the moment, details are sketchy. It's being backed by the chemical company Ineos, who have also just taken over Team Sky, the cycling team. It's being named the Ineos 159 Challenge for obvious reasons. The organisers are trying to find a way that they can cram in up to a quarter of a million spectators.
Wow.
So the current thinking is that there will be some kind of 2 to 3 mile loop, possibly Battersea Park, where he can be seen at all times. Because I think probably one of the missing factors last time, when he ran 2 hours and 25 seconds, so I only missed that by 26 seconds, was there weren't that many spectators. And as we all know, from running 5Ks, 10Ks, whatever, sometimes you just need that bit of a psychological boost. So
yeah, definitely.
I do think having roaring crowds cheering him on, all other things being equal, could be the thing that gets him over the line.
Yeah, so exciting. You know, come to Battersea Park in London, actually.
Yeah.
I really think he can do it. I really think he's that close and it can happen, which would be amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy is virtually unbeatable. He's won 10 of his 11 marathons. And the last time he lost one was Berlin in 2013 to Wilson Kipsang. You know, you could say there are kind of no more mountains left for him to conquer. Mm. And he can carry on racking up the wins. He's got the world record already, which is 2:01.39 that he ran also at Berlin in 2018. This would really mark him out as just the very best of all time if he's not been given that name already.
Yeah,
I think he should be. Certainly the best marathon runner of all time.
Definitely. That's great, Kerry. Thanks very much for popping in and keeping us up to date with the latest and greatest things in the running world.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I'd like to say a huge thanks to our guest, Anna McNuff, and to Scramble Studios, now called Number 8, where this was recorded.
For more news, interviews, reviews, and everything else you'd possibly ever want to know about running, head over to runnersworld.com/UK. Some more podcast news is obviously now we are weekly. We'd also like to say that we're part of the Acast family now and still working with the wonderful people at Scramble, but they'll be known as Number 8 going forward. Thanks so much for listening and tune in again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.